Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Welcome back. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, as we always do every week with her. And the stories we've been talking about so far are so closely tied together, I guess it does bear a little review. We've talked about the nativity of, or the nativity foretold of John the Baptist, and then Luke follows along by talking about the birth of Jesus foretold, and then he seesaws back to the story of John the Baptist. These two men tied together in the biblical account, not only by Luke's pen, but also by prophecy and by God's intent and design. John is, after all, in every way the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And today we talk about his birth, a miraculous birth, but small m miraculous compared to the one that is coming, the one that it foreshadows. Deaconess Pam Nielsen, a senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
It's great to be back. How are you today, Pastor?
I'm very well, and how are you?
I'm great. Looking forward to the Feast of the Incarnation, to our Christmas worship, and enjoying all the things going on in Advent in the church to get us ready for that. It's an exciting time with a lot of distractions from the world.
But first comes the birth of John the Baptist, and if the foretelling of John's birth foreshadowed, in many ways, paralleled the foretelling of Christ's birth, does John's birth foreshadow and parallel the birth of Christ himself?
Oh, absolutely. These two guys go together. John comes first because he has to point people to Christ. You know, we said a couple weeks ago he would be the last Old Testament prophet, and he was the one who would get to not only once again proclaim the promise that a Messiah was coming, but actually point people to that promise realized in Jesus, the Son of God, who became man. And so he's born a little earlier, and he's born to parents who, by all human standards, would not expect to have a child, and we know from the text that we studied that an angel came to them, to his father, and told him that John would be coming, and told him what his name would be and what his purpose would be, as did the angel come to Jesus' parents. You've got those parallels. But very clearly, in that instance, for John's father, Zechariah, who got the word in the temple, and in today's story, when he's born, it all is so clear that John has a purpose, a very clear purpose, and that is to point people to the true Messiah and to prepare them for his coming and for his ministry among us on this earth.
His birth, John's birth, I mean, we call it miraculous, and I think up until recently, I kind of just let that kind of be glossed over because I think I underestimated how truly miraculous John's birth is in and of itself. I mean, we're talking about a husband and a wife who are both past the age where you would ordinarily expect children to be conceived. And
yeah,
apparently, and that would mean for Elizabeth, she's gone through the change. She's not physically capable.
Right.
And they've never been able to conceive before.
That's right. The text says she was barren, and we have to take that at face value, that, you know, they understood, that everyone understood, they're not having kids. It's not going to happen for them, and when it does, it is recognized by all truly as a miracle, and even in the angel telling Zechariah, I mean, you know, he doubts it. It's so clear to him that this ain't going to happen that he doubts it and questions the angel. And we know that he's silenced for the time of the pregnancy. And then in this wonderful story that we get to, he's able to speak again. And the story talks starts out there in verse 57 of chapter 1 in Luke, how the neighbors and relatives have heard the great mercy of the Lord shown to them, and they're rejoicing with Elizabeth at the birth of this baby. Everyone knows this is a miracle. This doesn't happen every day.
So tell us the story. How does it go from where we left off 2 weeks ago with essentially Zechariah being told he's just going to have to keep his mouth shut until the promise is kept?
That's good to kind of review that, because we're whipping through these stories really quickly in these 4 weeks of Advent. 9 months have passed here, and in between Zechariah getting the word and being silenced because he didn't believe that it was possible, life went on. His wife did conceive. She carries the child. She visits Mary, and John in her womb leaps at the presence of Christ, and we studied that last week, and now is the time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bears a son, the text says, and there's great rejoicing. And then right away, the text tells us that they go on the eighth day for the circumcision of the child, and where he would get his name, and the name should be, by tradition and standards of the day, he should be named for his father, Zechariah. And so the mother says, no, his name is going to be John. And the people question that. No, nobody in your family has this name, John. Why would you do that? And they gestured to the father, wondering if he can somehow clear this up. And he asked for a writing tablet, as he must have done so many times in 9 months. And to write out his response, and he writes, his name is John. And the text says it so simply, and they all wondered. But then, immediately, as he writes that, his mouth is opened, and he can speak. His tongue is loosed, and he begins to bless God. And this causes fear amongst the people. All these things become the talk of the town, the talk of the country. And like the scripture talks about Mary, here it says that all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, and they say, what then will this child be? They get it. This is something miraculous, something important, and they're wondering. And then Zechariah, now able to speak and filled with the Holy Spirit, he himself prophesies, and that's the rest of this story. And he prophesies about who John would be. He recounts God's mercy and his history, and what the task of John will be as a prophet, and who he will prophesy about, and who he will point people to. And then we're left in the 80th verse at the end of chapter 1. The child grows and becomes strong in spirit, and then he is in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. And we'll get to that in a few weeks. And that's the John we all know and love, hairy, locust-eating, honey-licking John.
So much is contained in that song that Zechariah finally sings at the birth of his son. It is remarkable. The church has even taken this song into one of its daily offices, actually several of them, and retained it almost word for word. It's amazing. What is the message that finally comes out of Zechariah's mouth when his tongue is loosed?
Oh, it's a great message. He is pointing everyone to God, to his work, and to his salvation. And here he says he has revisited and redeemed his people, raising up a horn of salvation. So he's reminding everyone what God has promised and what he's said he will do. And he talks about the prophets of old have said these things, and that we would be saved from our enemies. He sets everyone up, jogs their memory. These are Jewish people gathered around. They know these stories. They know these things. And then he talks about this child will be called the prophet of the Most High, and he will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. So very clear proclamation of the work of John, and it will be to give knowledge of salvation to the people of God and the forgiveness of their sins. And it's just really a beautiful, clear speech, a song about God's promises from of old, and now that they are coming to pass, and this child here being held will point people clearly to the fruition of those promises, Christ Jesus. And it's one we sing, you're right, in several liturgies, and this is an amazing one to talk about with children, because, you know, sometimes you sing the liturgy, and maybe you don't think about what you're singing because you know it so well. It's such rich stuff in it, and to help kids understand, why do we sing this? This is so important, and it's why we teach Sunday school, because, like here, we recount God's promises. We recount the stories of his faithfulness from of old, all of them foreshadowing, pointing always to Christ, as would John.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We have 10 more minutes with her on the other side of the break to round off this first hour of Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon, 14th of December. We're talking about the birth of John the Baptist, and you can join us. Questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us with questions or comments as well, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @IssuesETC. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that song. It's called the Benedictus. It's simply for the first word that Zechariah utters, blessed be the God. And he talks a lot about the covenant, the promise. This seems to be a theme in everyone who opens their mouth to sing in Luke's gospel account of the foretelling of Jesus' birth, of John's birth, and the birth of these children. It's all about a promise in the Old Testament finally and completely being kept in Jesus Christ. And they all know it too. We'll be right back.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at IssuesETC.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the birth of John the Baptist. Pam, before the break, we were talking about that song of Zechariah, which, of course, we could spend hours talking about line by line, and we have 10 minutes. You gave us the basic message. But one of the things that strikes me, especially not only in the song, but also in the answer that you gave before, is that these are not kind of the country bumpkin, unwitting Jews, not knowing what's going on. They realize exactly what's happening. They realize that the Messiah is on his way and that John is there to make sure that everyone is prepared to receive him. They understand exactly at one point in history they stand.
Yes, they do. And I just think it's amazing. So often you and I have talked about how God over and over again renews his covenant, makes clear to his people his love, his mercy, his salvation for them. And all of those miracles and events of the Old Testament, how he was with them, redeemed them over and over, even in their unfaithfulness and their turning away. And made it so clear that his promises are true. And here again, in all of this, through the words of Zechariah, God is making clear, lest you forget, all of these things happen, all of them are pointing to this moment. This is huge, and how gracious God is to, you know, shake them and make sure they get it. He doesn't want anyone to miss what this is all about.
Some of the final words of Zechariah's song, talking about what Christ would do, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There's an awful lot there in those few words. Talk about that, if you would.
Wow, you're right. There is a lot there. The way of peace, and here we, you know, we really are talking about the peace of God, that peace that passes understanding that we talk about in the church, different than the world's peace. This is peace from the knowledge of salvation. This is the peace you get when you know the certainty of your salvation, when you know the certainty that your sins, every one of them, is forgiven, is cast away, is no more, and that you are right with God. That's the kind of peace that we're talking about here, not the fleeting worldly peace or the calm in the afternoon when no one's around or whatever we might think of in worldly terms. This is that greater, deeper peace that passes understanding, and it's all tied to what Christ came to do, to make us right with God, to forgive our sins, to cast them away, and to give us a peaceful and glorious eternity in heaven with him.
Do we have the same sense of, I guess, that same sense of moment that must have been with those who were part of this divine drama? Because, Pam, we're part of it too. I mean, Christ is still among us. He is still coming to us in his word and sacrament every bit as much as he was coming through the womb of the Virgin Mary then to Zechariah and Elizabeth.
Oh, that's just such a wonderful thing to think about and a wonderful thing to teach to the children. Maybe these things become commonplace for us. We go to church frequently, and we do things the way we do, and, you know, the cares of this world crowd in, and we don't think about, really, the miracle every Sunday as we gather God's people around the Word and Sacrament in the Divine Service to hear his words, not any words, not part of the blur of words that we get in this information age, but the Word of God that speaks forgiveness, life, and salvation to us through the mouth of our pastor. And the fact that when we kneel at that altar and he gives us a little flat piece of bread and a little sip of sweet wine, that is the body and blood of our Lord, and that in that we receive the forgiveness of sins, or the water splashed over the baby, and how often we sit and smile as the little babies are baptized. And, you know, we need to be, all of us, reminded that that is a miracle, and that is life and salvation being given right then and there. And in the words of absolution that Pastor speaks after we confess our sins, true forgiveness. These are miracles because none of us could, on our own, no matter what we did, a whole life lived trying to please God, trying to earn his favor and his forgiveness, none of us could do it. We would all fall short and deserve eternal death. But every week, God reassures us, gives us a new forgiveness, life, and salvation because of Christ, his Son. And that's what John came to point people to. That's the significance of this, and to help children see why that's so important and why that matters in their lives. That's what it's really all about.
I remember as a little kid hearing this story and knowing what lay ahead, especially with the closing verses of this account where basically it kind of says, well, you know, then John went out in the wilderness, kind of skips over a pretty significant portion of his life. And as a little kid, you're thinking, where did the childhood go? Until he made his public appearance to be the forerunner of Christ. I remember as a kid thinking, it almost makes it sound like he, you know, may have spent just the minimum amount of time at home with mom and dad, or maybe mom and dad in their old age passed on. And then John has to dedicate his entire life to this task he's been sent from God to do. And as a little kid, that just seemed kind of daunting to me.
Yeah, I think it kind of, it does. But maybe it's helpful to point out to the little kids in our classes this week that we don't know what that time period was. And because we don't know, it's not important for us. We can know that God brought John into this world, loved him, gave him faithful and loving parents, and we can trust that, you know, his life was fine. And really, this isn't about John. And John's life wasn't about John. John was all about Jesus. And where Scripture doesn't speak, we can't speak. But I think we can assure children that God cared for John through his parents, like he cares for them, and as he cared for his son in the wilderness when Jesus was there being tempted, John was being protected too by the angels, just as holy angels are sent to protect each of us in this life as we go about it. It is an interesting thing because there's such a leap here, and then when he comes back, he's a wild and woolly guy, and you just wonder, you know, what happened in those times. And that's natural, and, you know, I guess we can speculate, but at the end of the day, those things don't matter, and Christ does.
Next time, what are we going to be doing?
Well, what wouldn't we talk about? The Nativity of Christ is our next story, the birth of Christ, and all of these prophecies fulfilled in him and now realized, heaven on earth, God's Son in the flesh. So that'll be great to talk about as we prepare for that great feast in the church here.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their Sunday School curriculum, forming the basis of our conversations every week with Pam, is called Growing in Christ. You can get a sample of Growing in Christ, a full Sunday school curriculum, Christ-centered, cross-focused, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ, or go to our website, and you'll find a link to Growing in Christ, issuesetc.org. Click listen, go to the on-demand page. You'll find it right there, Growing in Christ. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We'll spend it with Robert Spencer, founder of Jihad Watch. We're going to talk about those recent arrests in Pakistan. Five American Muslims stand accused of planning to attack U.S. troops. This after the Fort Hood shooting and the concern that we ought to have. Some say, don't worry about it. There's no real connection between Islam and its adherents and violence against the U.S. Others say, no, this is something that ought to catch our attention. And we need to be thinking more seriously about Muslim Americans in the military. We'll see what Robert Spencer thinks about it in the second hour of the program. Clark Forsyth will join us of Americans United for Life, based in Chicago, to talk about the Hyde Amendment, past and present, and whether it has a future in health care reform. Craig Parton will be our guest to talk about wilderness spirituality in the last half hour of Issues Etc. today. John is the forerunner of Christ in every way. It is a life laid out by God, purposed by God, set forth by God, foretold by God. He does everything in order to prepare his people for the arrival of his own Son. And John is there simply to be that finger pointing forward to Christ. He is, by Christ's estimation, the greatest man to have ever been born of woman. And yet John says of the one who's coming after him, there is one greater than I. This is really the role of the church in the world today, to stand as John the Baptist on the bank of the Jordan, peculiar, odd, out of place, funny looking, difficult to understand sometimes, but with a clear message, pointing to Christ and Him crucified. Would that the church would regain the spirit of John the Baptist, not only to foretell of Christ, but to constantly proclaim His name and the salvation He brings. When we come back, hour two of Issues, Etc. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.